Glad you're all here. We're going to get in the Word of God in just a minute, and it's time to get excited because you know the Word of God gives us life. There's every reason to be excited, to know the very fact that God is for you. The Bible tells us He's fighting for you. Jesus is praying for you, that you will not fail, that you will succeed in every situation, that God will give you the strength you need to keep your head up high, knowing that God is for us. There's no other reason but just to say, Lord, I belong to you. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts? Let's come before our Lord God and King. Father in heaven, we look to you now, and I pray, Father, as our hearts are in line with your Holy Spirit, as we hear your voice, I pray, Lord, as the word is preached, I pray your Holy Spirit will counsel us, your Holy Spirit will teach us. Show us, Lord, what we need to be convicted of so that, Father, we can truly live a life that is holy and pure. Father, let your Holy Spirit's presence just fill this place, Father. Fill with your love, your peace, your joy overflowing with your goodness. We are your children that desire you. We praise your most holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, by the way, if you don't have notes, you can just raise your hand and someone can get some notes in your hand. All right? Well, today the title of my sermon is, That's All It Takes, Just One Look. That's all it takes, just one look. You know, I got to tell you, I remember when I was 12 years old and I was in the 7th grade, this is about the time where boys in my class, I got to tell you, including myself, we're starting to show some interest in some of the girls in our class. And I got to tell you, there was this one girl that was really sweet and cute looking. But nothing can compare to my wife, right? But anyway, I got to tell you, I remember when she turned to one of the boys, and I remember, even including myself, she would be just talking to one of us, and simply she would give an innocent, adorable smile, and you know, a little tilt of the head. And suddenly, just one look, the boy will be transported into La La Land. You know what I'm talking about? And, you know, it's kind of funny. I remember in the 1980s, there was this song sung by, you guys remember Linda Ronstadt? This song called Just One Look. And I'm not going to sing it for you. I tried to sing it yesterday. It was terrible. So I'm not going to go there and give up. I'm going to read to you the lyrics. It goes, just one look, I'm singing it. And I fell so hard in love with you. I said I wasn't going to sing it, but I sang it. I don't know what's wrong with me. But you know that song, right? I fell so hard in love with you. And today we're going to take a look at actually this lyric, because it says, just one look and I fell so hard. We just stop right there. We're going to find that there were people in the Bible, they fell hard when they just looked at something they weren't supposed to. But when they did look at something that was of God, we knew it was a different story. Because it says here, hard in love with you. If we chose to do what we're supposed to do, we're looking at the right things, we know we're going to fall deeper in love with God. And that's all it would take, one look, and we knew whether it was right or wrong, whether we should look in the first place. Could certainly change the life of a person forever just simply because they looked at something. Can you imagine that? Just because you looked at something, it could change your life forever. And it also depends what or who we're looking at. Let's look at Isaiah 45:22. It says, this is God talking now. He says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you're looking to God in everything, you can be assured that all is well. And if it's not, it will be. Because if you place your trust wholeheartedly upon God, you can count on it. He's going to make sure your life is just more than just well. You're going to live a life that is truly blessed. You know, I've got to tell you, there's this well-known preacher in the late 1800s. His name is Charles Spurgeon. You guys heard of him before, right? And he quoted this very verse while testing the sound acoustics in a new auditorium for a church. And you know, you gotta understand, microphones were not invented yet. And so, you know, he spoke in auditoriums. I'm talking about 20,000 plus people. I mean, no microphones. So he wanted to test his voice projection in this huge auditorium. And imagine him quoting this verse. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. He said it with total heart. And you know, here's the thing. Sometime later, he was called to the bedside of a dying man. And you know what? This man who worked in this auditorium, he was in the balcony and he heard him sing this verse. And he probably was a janitor or a custodian. But you know what? God used this very verse to see that the man gets saved, because he did. He came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior just from reciting this verse. He heard it and he let it sink so deep within his heart, and he realized what a wretch he was and how much he needed God. And I gotta tell you, that man, like many people today, they're looking for something. Don't you agree? A lot of people are lost in this world. They're looking for something. And when a person is looking, you think God hides? No. God makes himself available. And all it takes is one look. All it takes is one person to say, Lord, I need you. I really need you. Just one look from that person looking up into the heavens, say, Lord, help. And I'm sure some of you can relate to that. I can relate to that. It took me to realize, man, I can't do it on my own. I need a higher power. I need a higher love to show me how to walk in this life. And let me ask you, did God show himself to me? You bet he did. And he showed himself to me strong. And all it took was one look. One look to say, Lord, help. And you know, you got to understand, the human eyes, they are the main gate which leads to our minds, our imaginations, and to our heart. Just our eyes. We take one look, and it starts there. Let me ask you, has anyone ever experienced love at first sight? Probably some of you, right? Just take a look at that person. And, wow. Yeah, many times. Well, at the very least, it may have led to a second look, right? But for some of you in this church, you may be here right now because you're here for that very reason. You want to take a second look at the very Word of God because you heard the Word of God maybe once, maybe even twice. And you said, you know what? This all makes sense. Maybe this is what I really need for my life. Because you heard about what the world has to offer based on worldly and humanistic ideals. And you know what? You heard it all. They say, oh, life is about this, life is about that. And there's so many books about how to achieve happiness in life. And you probably may have read all those books. Because you go to Borders, I mean, there's a whole shelf of self-help books about how to be happy in life. And you realize, you know what? It ain't working for you. You need something else. And now you want to look for something that is more lasting, more enduring. And you realize, you know what? This is what I may need, the very Word of God. And consider just the power of just one look. Let's take a quick trip through the Bible from beginning to end and see what just one look can do for people. You know, there's this little girl that asked her mother, Mommy, how did the human race start? And the mother answered, well, you see, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and all mankind was made. 2 days later, the girl asked her father the same question. And the father answered, well, you see, many years ago, there were monkeys from which the human race evolved. So the confused little girl returned to her mother and said, Mommy, how is it possible that you told me that the human race was created by God and Daddy said that they developed from monkeys? But the mother answered, well, dear, it's pretty simple. I told you about my side of the family and your father told you about his. Well, let me ask you, who are you going to look to for the truth? That's the thing, right? It's the most important thing. It's what your heart will take a hold of as truth. You may look at it and go, I wonder. But it's your heart that will realize what is the truth. Amen? Well, here's a question. What can just one look bring upon a person's life? Well, look at number one here. It says, just one look can bring forth, ooh, look at that word, condemnation. And I looked in the dictionary for that definition of condemnation, and it says it's to blame or to express strong disapproval of. Well, let me ask you, who blames us a lot? I mean, major a lot. The devil, doesn't he? He accuses the brethren, the Bible tells us. He says, we're wrong, you're this, you're that, you're no good. Don't even call yourself a child of God because you're not worthy. That's the devil. But it says here, or to express strong disapproval of. Who can express strong disapproval of our lives, of us? Well, the devil can, right? Can God express strong disapproval of us? Yeah, based on what we do. When we stay on that track that we know is leading to death, we choose to stay on it because you know what? It's like a road that we feel comfortable on. It may be a road that we say, hey, everybody else is on it, why not me? So we gotta choose, we gotta understand God gives us a choice, doesn't he? We gotta choose his ways or the world's way. Well, let's look at some examples here. Look at letter A here. It says, Eve in the garden. I'm going to read to you Genesis 3:6. It says here, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was plentiful or pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Well, very simply put, she looked and she took, and she lost her place in the garden. And she was deceived, and you know what? All it took was, it was how many looks? Just one look. What did he say? I can be like God. All it took was one look, and then she took. Well, then we know who came along. Adam, man, came along and saw what happened. He took a look at her. He took a look at the tree. And he said, oh, well, give me a bite too. And he sinned with his eyes wide open. And all it took was just one look. So we got to be careful. All it takes is just one look and you can mess up your life. And speaking of Adam and Eve, you know, someone has suggested that they had an ideal marriage. You know why? Because he didn't have to hear about all the men she could have married. And she didn't have to hear about the way his mother cooked. But here's the thing. With Adam and Eve, we know all it took was just one look. And you know what? They lost their place in the garden. Well, look at letter B here. Lot's wife. Genesis 19:25-26. It says here, this is God, right? So God overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the city, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became what? A pillar of salt. You guys know that story. And God warned them not to look back. It's in verse 17. It says, don't look back. But what did she do? She looked back. All it took was just one look. And she became a salt lick in the desert. Just one look was all it took. And she wouldn't even have even been in this wicked city of Sodom if not for her husband, who gave a look in that direction when he selfishly chose the best land when he was given the choice. He knew that this land was full of sin. But, you know, he was given the opportunity to choose. And, oh, this is big land. This is prime land. But he knew this wasn't the land that was right for his family. But yet he chose it. And now you can see, with decisions we make in life, we got to be careful. Just because it's the grandest, it's the beautifulest, it's the best as what you perceive it to be, doesn't mean that it necessarily is God's blessing for you. Can you see that? You got to still go to God and you seek after God and say, Lord, is this from you, Lord? Is this from your hand? Because it is, Lord. I'm going to take it and I'm going to give you all the praise. I'm going to give you all the glory. Because we got to check with God first. We got to make sure this is really from God. Well, look at letter C here. It says, Achan. And basically, God's people in the book of Joshua, they were instructed not to take of the spoils of the battle from the city of Jericho. They were clearly told this. Don't take whatever you know, that you will see when you enter into this city. This is what it says in Joshua 7, 20 to 21. It says, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, look what he says, indeed I have sinned against the Lord of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them. That means he got jealous of them, right? He said, oh, I want that. And he took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. You got to understand, Achan did this in progression. What did he do first? It says he saw it. Oh, I like that. And then he coveted. He said, oh, that got to be mine. So he said, oh, I like that. It got to be mine. And then what did he do? He took it. You got to understand, taking was the disobedient action. But it all began when what? He looked. Just one look. He saw it. And then he took it. He said, okay, that's mine. And you got to understand, like I said, you got to be careful. When we look at things, check your heart. If your mind is telling you, oh, that should be in your possession, stop it right there. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke that. I'm not going to covet. I know whatever I have comes from God. And I'm going to give him praise for what I have. And you are content in every situation. Amen? Do not let the devil deceive you and say, oh, that should be yours. No, you give God thanks for everything you have, for every situation that you're in. Amen? Letter D, it says David and Bathsheba. Look at 2 Samuel 11, 2-3. It says there, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and he walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And you got to understand, with David, he saw. Remember, it starts with the eyes, right? You can see this. It started with the eyes. He saw, he lusted, and he sinned. And the lust of the eyes demanded, hey, buddy, go further. And then he started down this slippery slope. That's what it is. When you start with having lust in your eyes, oh, man, it gets to a point where it says, go further, man. You're going to enjoy this ride. Go further. We got to say, I'm not going there, devil, because I know you're behind this. I rebuke you. Let me ask you, have you ever been to the Wet and Wild water slides in Kapolei Lake? Oh, man, I tell you, it's pretty fun. You know, some of these rides are pretty tame and fun. Have you ever been there? Because, you know, some of them just kind of like, you go down, it's like, you're kind of like floating, you know, and then you kind of go right into the pool. Ah, it's real tame and fun. But some, I got to tell you, it's a total rush of adrenaline. I mean, some of them, and you're like, ah. But, you know, last year I chaperoned my daughter and her class to this park, and now, I don't know what came over me. I saw them standing in line. We were like climbing up this mountain, right? And we got to the very top, and I said, I don't know if I should do this. You know, I'm kind of old, you know? And I look at the kids, they're like, yeah, let's get on this thing. It's like the, I don't know what it's called, the beast or something. I don't know. It's like, man, I don't know if we want to do that. But I look at my daughter, and she's like, okay, Dad, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And I was like, oh, this is the most scariest one. It's the most wild one. And I got to tell you, I could have known this for the very fact that there were so few people in the line. A lot of them were kids. Not people my age, right? But it was really high up. And you know, it made me think. Temptation is like a huge water slide. Because you know, you can turn around right up to that moment right before you seek to satisfy your lusts. At which point, you already gotten too far. And it's too late. And now you may have to deal with the consequences. See what I'm saying? Because there are times, right, when we get too far, it's hard to turn back because you know what? Your flesh is saying, go for it. Go. Go. And we got to realize when we know we need to stop, we got to turn around. We got to say, Lord, I want to be back on track where you want me to be. Because you know what? David could have seen Bathsheba taking a bath. Right? And it's kind of funny. Yesterday I was preaching this and I kind of realized, hey, you know what? Bathsheba has the word bath in it. It's kind of fun. First time, I mean, I've seen this so many times, but I realized, hey, Bathsheba has the word bath. But she was taking a bath. And you know what? He could have turned away, right? But what happened? He chose to go down the slide. Why? Because it was too late. He kept on inching closer. He could have heard from the Holy Spirit, but he could have heard from God. He said, don't go there. Wait just a little bit. Okay, I'm not going to look that much. And the Holy Spirit, don't go there. Wait just a little bit longer. And you see, the next thing you know, he went down the slide. And when you go down the slide, they ain't turning back. It's not like, stop! Cannot go stick your foot out and stop. Once you're down that slippery slide, oh, you're going to go all the way down. And you realize, man, you may be halfway. It's like, what have I done? And you're going down that slide and there's no stopping you. So you realize this is how addiction forms. We got to put it to a stop in the name of Jesus when we can. We say, Lord God, help me. Because I don't want to go down this slide. No more. You must turn your whole heart to God. Because look what it says here in James 1:15. It says, then when desire has conceived, what does it say there? It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Because all it starts with is a desire. And where does the desire start from? Your eyes. Looks at that thing and go, oh yeah. And then it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, that means when you're down that slide, you're going to keep on going. Guess what happened? It can lead to death. The kind of death I'm talking about is what? Spiritual death. Where you're going to be so far into your sin that suddenly you're not going to even look to God anymore. And I counseled a lot of people that said, you know what? Why do I even have to go to God anymore? I'm too far into my sin. I said, no, you turn to God right now. No matter how far you think you've gotten, you cry out to God. And God will save you. You're never too far in. Amen? God will come to your rescue as you turn your heart to Him. And just think about this. Lust. Sin. Death. Lust. Sin. Death. I gotta tell you, this is the most dangerous form of LSD. I ain't talking about the drug. I'm talking the very fact that this can kill your soul. It starts with lust. And the lust becomes sin. The next thing you know, that sin, you let it go too far, you're gonna experience spiritual death.
I understand what you're saying, but didn't that lust of Bathsheba and David bring down the curse of Jesus?
Yeah, you're right. You're right, brother. But the thing is, he turned. He turned back to God, didn't he? And that's the whole thing. You know, but for some people, they don't turn back to God. They just say, you know what? I enjoy this too much for me to get off. And that's what will happen. It will result to death in that way. And we know what happened, right? A baby died in the process. Yeah, his son that was born from Bathsheba. And you can see, and then there were other things that happened, you know, if you can read in the scriptures. It tells us you're going to face the consequences when you allow your sin to get way too far. And I got to tell you know, we know, man, we're going to, you know, speak openly and frankly. We know that we are visual creatures, right? And here's the thing. Jesus said we can even commit adultery with just one look. Didn't he say that? Well, he didn't say the exact words, just one look. But you know what I'm saying, right? All it takes is just one look. And we realize as men, we got to set up safeguards. Because look what it says there in Job 31:1. Look what Job says. He says, I made a covenant with my what?
Eyes.
My ears? my nose, my eyes, he says, not to look lustfully at a young woman. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Your covenant is, right? It's an agreement. He said, I agree with my eyes, and I ain't going there. Because you may think, oh, it's innocent. I'm just taking a look at the beauty. Well, some men, they go too far. They look, and they look, and they look, and then start to lust, and then next thing you know, they're heading down that slippery slope. Men, we got to make some serious covenants, don't we? And it's not just men, right? For women, but more so for men. And when it concerns any form of entertainment, from the television, the computer, the magazines, etc., etc., we need to avoid and flee when necessary. We got to stay away. And, you know, and that means as much as possible, when you're on the internet, just make sure your family is around. Make sure that you got people that are awake, not late at night. You're all by yourself in front of the computer, because you know what? You may think, oh, I can handle. I'm not going to fall into that temptation. Well, guess what? If you think that, more than likely, you will. I have to tell you that, because no one is looking, and something just flashes on your screen, and next thing, oh, I shouldn't be looking at that. Oh, I'm good. And it keeps on flashing. And next thing you know, okay, maybe I'll just take a peek. Next thing you know, the devil says, yeah, take more than just a peek. Oh, no one's looking. And then next thing we know, we're heading down that slippery slope. And I got to tell you, you know, I also found lately that I got to even take caution to even, like, you know, movies rated PG and PG-13. You know, just the other day my son rented this movie, and it's a comedy, right? And it's kind of well known, and I'm thinking, okay, it's PG-13, can't be that bad. And he said, Dad, I really want to watch it. So I said, oh, okay then, you know. Man, I put that thing on, man, it was so bad. I mean, cussing words, PG-13. And it had, like, shots of nudity and all that. I'm going, man, I remember in my day, PG-13 wasn't like that. And even the PG movies now. I'm going, man, we only got to watch G movies. We only got to watch cartoons, I guess. But, you know, other than that, you know, we got to keep our mind pure, don't we? We got to choose the way of God. Because just one look can bring condemnation. The song goes, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. We got to be careful what we see from these two things in our head. You know, Pastor Bill Perkins, he once quoted, he says, if you think you cannot fall into sexual sin, especially with the lust of the eyes, you know what he says? Then you are probably godlier than King David. You are stronger than Samson, and you are wiser than King Solomon. Because guess what? You know what happened to them, right? They took just one look, and they fell into their sin. But here's the thing. If you think that you are Mr. Holy Guy, that I can handle it, I can be put in situations where there's strong temptation, but I am a man of God, I can handle it. Don't fool yourself. Because a lot of guys I heard that done this, man, it didn't turn out so good. I remember there was this young pastor that was in our men's group years and years ago, back when I was still at New Hope. And he kind of shared with us, and you got to understand, he was in his 20s, right? And that time I was in my 30s. And I remember he was sharing about this friend that had backslidden. And he said, you know what, I know he's not doing very well spiritually. And he shared with us this one time when he heard that his friend was in a nude strip bar. Okay? And he said, you know what? Oh, man, I felt like I had to do something. And suddenly he felt obligated to rescue his friend. I got to go down to that nude bar and rescue him. So he actually went down to the bar and he tried to talk to him about coming home. He said, just get out of here. But you know what? The guy didn't want to go. And you know what? And we asked him, so what happened? So what did you do? He said, well, I got there and I got to tell you, this is the first time I've been to a place like this. I kept going like this. But every time I went like this, it's kind of like this. And you kind of realize, you know, here's the thing. We got to realize that the devil, he's going to tell you, just a peek, go ahead. And you know what? Don't make yourself out to be a hero, thinking that you're Mr. Holy, Godly Person, because that's what some people do, and they fall into that trap. That's what the devil will use sometimes, to tell you, oh, don't worry, you're strong in the Lord. You can do it. No, don't put yourself in those situations where you know the devil will come to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. We got to choose God with our whole heart and realize that, you know, there are places we shouldn't go, things we shouldn't see. Because remember, all it takes is how many looks? Just one look. One look, and you're sliding down that slippery slope. And sometimes, oh man, you got to go all the way down. So realize this. Seek the Holy Spirit. Let Him speak to you. And if He's telling you to run, you run as fast as you can the opposite direction. Amen? And you say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Saving me from maybe eventual death. Amen? Well, look at number two here. It says, just one look can bring forth justification. And to give you a definition of justification, it's an explanation or reason that justifies or defends. And who defends us? Holy Spirit? Jesus? He fights for us, doesn't he? He defends us. And you know what you got to understand? In Numbers, the children of Israel, they're in the wilderness, and they're being judged for their sin, because you know why? They're griping. They're murmuring, and they have lack of faith. They're just saying, why did God bring us out here? Why did Moses, you know, tell us to follow him? Oh man, we're so miserable. La, la, la. And God was providing, and yet they were still murmuring, still grumbling. So what did God do? God sent serpents. Yeah, he sent serpents to bite and kill them in judgment. And some people may say, oh, that's kind of harsh. Well, that's what God did. Look what it says here in Numbers 21:8. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Look what it says here in John 3:14. It says, but the Lord had Moses fashion a brass serpent on a pole to lift up high, and if only the people would look to that serpent, they would live. And it says the serpent was a picture of Christ made sin for us. And some people go, wait, wait, the serpent doesn't represent the devil. Well, you know what? In this case, it represented the very fact that Christ was made sin for us. And as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. And it tells us, all who look to Jesus can live. You want to live? More than just live, live abundantly? Then you must look to Jesus. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus and don't look away. And if you do this through your entire life, your life will be more than blessed. You're going to experience the presence of God like you've never experienced before. Because God didn't say, look on the pole. He didn't say, look to Moses. He didn't say, look to the miracle of the Red Sea. No, he said, look to Jesus, the very one that can save you. Because for them, they knew that they must not look at anything but to Jesus. They must not look at the wrong thing, because only looking to the serpent would save their lives. And you think about this, sadly, today, you know what? Many people that are going to church, they're not fully looking to Jesus. Some are looking to the pastor or the leader of the church. Say, yeah, he's the one that can save us. He's the one that can make things all better for us. No, it's not about the pastor. It's not about the leaders of the church. It's about Jesus. You look to Jesus. Because some people, they go to church all excited. Okay, I can't wait to hear the pastor preach. Oh, because, oh, he's so funny and he's got entertaining stories. And I know what he's going to say. He will rescue me. No, you only say Jesus is the only one that can rescue me. Amen? Don't look to man. Look to Jesus. And you know, some people, they look to the church, right? It's the church, it's the building, it's the people inside it that will save us. No, it's not the church. Some people may look to the baptism, say, yeah, because I was baptized, now I know I'm really, really saved. No, it's not about the baptism. It's about the fact that you looked at Jesus and Jesus entered into your heart. It's not about communion. It's not about confirmation. It's not because of what your mama said about what you did in your life. It's not about a saint. It's not about Mary. It's not about morality. Because some people say, oh, I'm a good person. I do good. I do a lot of good. I donate a lot to charities. And I help out the church a lot. Well, it's not just about morality. Or some people say it's about sincerity. Oh, I'm a very sincere person. I mean it from my heart. Well, it's not so much what you mean from your heart. It's so much more who's in your heart. See that? It's Jesus in your heart. Because you can say, yeah, I'm really sincere. I got good in my heart. But is Jesus there? Is your motivation to do good because of Jesus or because of your own selfish desires? You got to ask yourself that. Because I ask myself all of these questions all the time. I ask myself, Ben, what is the real reason why you're doing this? Is it because you want applause from man, or because you want to please your Father God in heaven? That's something we must ask of ourselves. Because you're doing it for the wrong reasons, it doesn't matter to God, does it? It has to be between you and God. And say, Lord, I'm doing it for you. Then God will reward you. Then God will bless your life. Amen? Because you did it with your heart saying, it's for you, Jesus. But you know what? They look in the wrong direction until they look to Jesus. That's the whole thing. We must look to Jesus. Look what it says here in Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, what it says there, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, knowing that he's the author and finisher of our faith. He writes and he finishes what our faith in him is all about. The thing is, we stay on track. We know we're going to have more than just a good ending. We're going to have eternity with God. But we must stay strong in the race. Amen? Got to stay strong. And the only way to stay strong, you got to go to God every day. You're asking for help every day. Don't ever think you can go at it alone. Oh, I'm so strong now, I can do it myself. No, that's the wrong way to think. Every day I go to God on my knees. Oh, Lord, help me. I need your help, Lord. Help me to stay strong. Help me not to be tempted. Help me not to fall into the devil's trap. You gotta have humility. You want a successful, strong walk with the Lord, you must stay humble. Amen? As you stay humble, the Holy Spirit's power will just enter in. It will just strengthen you even more when you are humbled more. Amen? Praise God. Well, number three here. It says, just one look can bring forth sanctification. And what does sanctification mean? It means set apart. It says to be made holy. That's what sanctification means. And just one look, you can be set apart for God. Just one look, you can be holy unto God. You know, in Matthew 17, we find that Peter, James, and John, they're known as the inner circle among Jesus' disciples, that they were taken aside to a high mountain where they saw the transfiguration of Jesus. You guys remember that? It's in Matthew 17. In other words, they saw him in his glory. The Bible talks about him shining as the sun. Remember, the Bible says he's going to shine even brighter than the sun. This is in the glory, Jesus' glory, where he's going to be shining so bright. Look what it says here in Matthew 17, 7 to 8. It says, but Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. And what does it say there? When they had lifted up their eyes, well, I love this next verse. It says, they saw no one but Jesus only. And there are times you must fix your eyes so firmly on Jesus, you don't see anybody else. but Jesus. Because you got to understand, the disciples, they were never the same again when they had this experience. They took their eyes off of everything and everybody except who? Except Jesus. You know, you got to understand, it tells us Moses and Elijah, they appeared that day too. Remember, they were long gone. But they appeared, right, in spirit. And you know what? These disciples, they didn't say, oh, we saw Moses. They didn't say, oh, we saw Elijah. And they didn't say, oh, we saw each other. In other words, they weren't distracted by each other. It's good advice. Sometimes we got to keep our eyes off of people and keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen? Sometimes we just got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to hear you. Speak to me, Lord. Let your voice speak to me directly. And He will. There are times that I can just go to the Lord and say, Lord, counsel me, direct me. He just speaks it right into my mind and right into my heart. He does that. And you got to just go to Him in total surrender. Because here's the thing, especially when it concerns worshiping the Lord, don't be concerned of what other people are doing. Because sometimes, you know, I do that too. Sometimes I kind of look around, you know, when I'm worshiping, how great is our God. And suddenly I just kind of, my mind starts to wonder. I'm looking at the person and you know, sometimes, you know, we'd be singing a fast song, you know, clapping, and I'm looking at that person. Oh, he's not clapping on time. He's off. What is it about our concern, really? But I remember in the past, I used to do that. And people were, you know, raising their arms. And in the past, I was thinking, hey, how come they're raising their hands up so high? Maybe mine's a little bit too low. Okay, I can go higher. Don't be concerned about that. When you worship the Lord, sometimes I just close my eyes. And I just imagine the whole world is just fading away. And in the worship, I'm just giving my all to Jesus. That's what it takes. Let the whole world just fade away. And you know it's just between you and Jesus. Because you know what? Just one look is all it takes for real sanctification. Because we got to take our eyes off the temporary material things of this life and keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, a good illustration of this is when Peter, remember he walked on the waves? What happened? He began to sink when he saw what? The winds and the waves. Because remember, when he saw Jesus, he was all right. He was just like gliding on water. He's like, oh, look at me, I'm doing a walk here, you know? And it's because his eyes were fixed on Jesus. But once he started looking at the things of the world, guess what? Oh, Lord, oh, I'm sinking. You see that? When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can walk on water. We can do what is impossible in the eyes of man. When we trust in Him, when we believe in Him with our whole heart. Well, let me ask you a question. What is the first thing you look to each morning as you wake up? You open your eyes, kind of, some people kind of slower, you know, but, you know, some people, when they wake up, I'm ready to go, you know, but for me, I'm not a morning person, so it's like, it takes a while before I start opening my eyes fully. But what's the first thing do you look for when you wake up in the morning? Do you look for your mouthwash or your toothpaste, your coffee pot, newspaper? The restroom? Well, okay, after that, right? But, you know, our heart should be saying, Lord, I desire you. Once we open our eyes, we look up to the heavens and we say, Lord, I desire you. Look what it says in Psalm 5:3. It says, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. Oh, this psalmist, he's excited, isn't he? In the morning, I will direct it to you and I will look up. Psalmist says, Lord, I'm looking to you. As soon as my eyes open, I'm looking to you. Because you know what? Daily sanctification is just a look away. You want to be holy unto the Lord. You want to be set apart for the Lord. It starts the very morning as you open your eyes. What do you look to? Because as your heart is rounded in the Word of God, you know you're going to have a excellent day. You're going to have a very good day because you know what? The Word of God is hidden in your heart. Amen? Because then as you enter your day, you're going to look at it differently as the world does. Because if your eyes are truly sanctified by God, guess what? You don't see as what the world sees. You see as what God sees through you. Amen? And what does that mean? I mean, suddenly, you're not going to look inward anymore. You're going to look outward. Look what it says in Philippians 2:4. It says, let each of you look out. It says look out, right? Look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Because, you know, when once we were in the world, it was all about me, myself, and I. We always, our eyeballs kind of had a tendency to spiritually turn inward. What can I gain for myself? What can I experience for myself in this? It's always about ourselves. But when you truly are filled with the Holy Spirit, it says suddenly we're going to start looking outwards. It's okay, what can I do for that person? How can I touch that person's life? Look at Matthew 9:36. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, this is Jesus, right? When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Because these people, they were there for him. They wanted to hear the word. They wanted to be healed. But you know what Jesus was concerned about? Do they have food? Do they have basic necessities? Because they look so weary and scattered. And he told his disciples, oh, get them something to eat. Get them something to drink. You see, Jesus was concerned with compassion for people because he was filled. He is God. And he had the Holy Spirit overflowing in him. And he knew that it was more than just looking at yourself. It meant being concerned for the needs of others. Because once you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, once you have these eyes that are sanctified, that are made holy unto God, you'll never see other human beings the same way again. Because when you look at them through sanctified eyes, you realize these are souls that could spend eternity either with God forever or the other place, eternally separated from God. These are what we desire. Sanctified eyes, realizing that these are souls that we must touch. That as the Holy Spirit speaks the word from your mouth, what you say may impact that person so much that they may be going to Jesus with their whole heart. That's what we got to be concerned about when we have these sanctified eyes. You know, I got to tell you, there was this man who once testified in one of D.L. Moody. He's one of these really well-known pastors. He went to one of D.L. Moody's meetings, and he claimed that he had lived on the Mount of Transfiguration for 5 years. See, I've been there 5 years. And so D.L. Moody asked him, so how many souls did you lead to Christ last year? Moody asked him this very bluntly. And the man said, well, I don't know. And Moody persisted, so have you saved anybody? Did anybody make a decision for Christ? And the man admitted, I don't know if I have. You know what Moody says? He says, well then, we don't want that kind of experience. Because when a man gets so high up with God that he cannot reach down and save poor sinners, there's something wrong. Because truly, if you said you got sanctified eyes and you are experiencing God at a level where you're knowing that his presence abounds. Because even the priests, remember in the Bible it tells us that they were overwhelmed with the presence of God. Well, let me ask you, if you have gotten so high up, do you have concern for your brethren? That's what the Bible tells us. If you have no concern for those who are needy, that are lost, it's questionable if you really have the love of God in you. This is what the Bible says. Because if you're only concerned about yourself, maybe the love of God may not be even in you. I tell you, don't say, oh, Pastor, how can you? I'll show you the scripture that says that. It tells us you will truly know if you have the heart of God. It's by how much you have concern for others, not yourself. Amen? Well, look at number 4. I know it's getting real quiet in here, but praise God. We need to hear the word of God is what it tells us, right? And look at number 4 here. It says, just one look will bring forth glorification. And a definition of glorification means to exalt, to praise, or to honor. And who are we glorifying? Jesus, right? Just one look and you can be in the glory presence of God. Look what it says here in 1 John 3:2. It says here, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And we know when Jesus is revealed, we're going to be like Jesus. Did you know? We're going to have glorified bodies when we see Jesus in His glorified form. And you know, when that happens, the curse will be lifted. The power of temptation and sin will lose its grip. All sickness will be eliminated. There's not going to be anything that will be negative. You know God's presence, when it comes, it will be all positive. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Disappointment and discouragement will evaporate. All lust, greed, malice, jealousy, and heartache will be no more. This is all for you and for me. Did you know this, brethren, sisters? So you might as well start getting used to it. Because there will come a time when everything will be positive. Everything will be good. Everything will be peaceful. That's our eternal home. That's our eternity. So we got to make a habit of saying, you know what? I'm going to choose the way of God. I'm going to choose to be a positive thinker. More than just being positive, knowing that I have the mind of Christ. When negativity comes, I'm going to choose to think of Jesus and see what the Holy Spirit will tell me to turn things around so that it doesn't stay in the negative. Because that's what God wants us to do, doesn't He? He wants us to live a life that is joyful, that is full of peace. And you really think about it, in these last days that we're living in, oh my goodness, doesn't it seem, let me ask you, sometimes when you read the newspaper, sometimes doesn't it seem like you're reading the book of Revelation? Because the book of Revelation talks about the last days, the end times. And sometimes I read about all the natural disasters, all the crime, all the immorality that's going on in this world. I'm going, hey, it's in the Bible. It's in the book of Revelation. Man, it's all coming true. It's really happening, and it's coming to the point, it's getting, seems like it can't get any worse. But somehow it does. And you go, what in the world? Well, look what it says here in Luke 21:27-28. It says, "Then they will see the Son of Man," who is Jesus, "coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Now, when these things begin to happen, what does it say? Look where? Look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. You believe Jesus is coming soon? Well, yeah, we don't know when, but I believe He will be coming soon. But don't fear, brothers and sisters, because it's all good for those who believe. When He comes, He's taking us with Him, because He loves us. And we know as our heart is right with God, if our hearts are prepared, we know we can not look to Jesus with shame. You may say, oh, but I did this, Lord. Oh, Lord, I don't know if I'm worthy. Lord, I just did something that I know was very displeasing to You. No, when He comes, if your heart is prepared, you're going to look at Jesus and say, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm all Yours. You're not going to have any shame. You're not going to have any guilt. Because look what it says here in Titus 2:13. It says, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." We're looking for that blessed hope. Because that blessed hope is who? Jesus. And if we can just fix our eyes in Jesus, you know, as He appears, man, you know, all your worries, all your anxiety, everything that has been crushing you all, it's going to be totally lifted off. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, But the things which are not seen are what? Are eternal. And we gotta realize, you know, we never seen God. Did you actually see Jesus face to face? Well, it tells us we don't have to see Him. We know that He's there in our heart. He makes His presence known to us when we obey Him, when we trust Him. We know that He's with us. We look to Jesus in our heart. God says, I'm here for you, and I'm never going to let you go. You know, there's a Christian author and pastor. His name is Warren Wiersbe. And in his book, it's called True Worship. This is what he says. I like what he says here. He says, we must beware of trying to get chummy with God. You know what chummy means, right? Come buddy-buddy. And Jesus calls us His friend, but you know what? Sometimes, oh, He's my buddy. It's okay. If I do wrong, oh, He's my pal. No, you're disrespecting God when you do that. You got to realize, yes, He calls us His friend, but He's our God. He's our Savior. And He continues. He says, I know the Apostle John leaned on the bosom of Jesus in the upper room. But he says, but he fell at the feet of Jesus when he beheld Him in His sovereign glory. Revelation 1:17 says, this is what John says, and when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. But He laid His right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. Because yeah, John, when he was in the upper room with Jesus, he leaned on Him frequently. He leaned on His chest. That's what a bosom is, chest. But they were very close. They were very friendly. I mean, they knew that they had a very close relationship. But when he realized Jesus in His glory, man, it wasn't so much resting His head on His chest anymore. He fell right to His knees in worship with His God and King. He realized, no, this is my Savior. This is my Lord God. You guys ever heard of Joni Erickson Tada? You know, she was this Christian woman who became a quadriplegic through a diving accident at the age of 17. And you know, she hasn't walked or known feeling in her legs for decades. And you know, she attended this convention, and the speaker closed his message with an appeal for everyone to kneel in prayer. Well, Mrs. Tada was the only one that was unable to perform the task because, you know, quadriplegia, it affects you from the neck downward. You have no sensation, no movement. And you know, although God knew her heart was kneeling, she began to cry because she wanted to physically kneel before her Lord. And through tears of passion, she prayed, Lord Jesus, I can't wait for the day when You return, when I will rise up on resurrected legs. And the first thing I will do then is to drop on grateful, glorified knees and worship You. Wow. Can you imagine that? And you know that word that I said, grateful? She says, all I want to do, Lord, is to drop on grateful, glorified knees. Because you know, a lot of times I hear people, they're grumbling. They say, oh, but the Lord didn't do this for me. He didn't provide that for me. This is a woman who's a quadriplegia. No movement, no sensation from the neck down. And she says, Lord, that day comes when You appear. I want to drop on my glorified knees and thank You. Thank You for what You've done for me in my life. It made me think. You know, I had to ask myself, Ben, why are you such a grumbler? Ben, why is it that you can't drop on your knees when things, you know, aren't going your way? And we gotta be people that say, Lord, You and You're glorified. You're glorified, Father. I want to exalt You. I want to praise Your most holy name. No matter what the situation in life, Lord, I want to look to You. I'm going to look to You with my whole heart. I'm going to look to You with my whole life. Because you know what? Just one look, right? We talked about this past, 45 minutes or so? Just one look can either bring forth condemnation, justification, sanctification, or glorification. I don't know about you. I don't want to go with the first one, condemnation. Because the other ones, yeah, we are justified by God. We are sanctified by God. And we are glorified when we will see Jesus in His glorified state. But you know what? We realize that very first one, condemnation, the devil, he's right there. Every day, as soon as we wake up, if we don't look to God, guess what? He's going to say, okay, now that your mind isn't fixed on Jesus, let me put some other things in your mind. Some juicy things. Some things that will get you excited. You got to say, no, devil. I'm looking to Jesus. I'm fixing my eyes on Him. And He says He'll never let me go. And as you fix your eyes on Jesus, no, you're going to experience victories in your life. You're going to experience the presence of God in your life. And you're going to realize, man, I don't want it any other way. Because, brothers and sisters, like I said earlier, once you head down that slippery slide, realize the devil, he may be the one that's just keep on pushing you down. You may be trying to get back up and try to go back the other way. The devil is going to keep pushing you down. If your eyes aren't fixed on Jesus, got to tell you, some people, they got to go all the way down. Sometimes it's a long time. Sometimes it could be years. So what I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, choose God in every situation. Because sometimes it's really hard to get off. God, He will come to your rescue, but you know, you got to understand the devil. Now, he's going to work extra hard to try to keep you down. But we know that God is victorious. As we hold on to Him, as we cry out His name, He will come to our rescue. But don't even allow yourself to even come near that slippery slide. Amen? Choose the way of God. And you will experience Jesus more and more. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God. Praise You, Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the life You give us, Lord, knowing as we look to You. We do not look to the world. We do not look to the things of the devil. We look to You, Father. And we know as we surrender our lives to You, we're not going to get near that slippery slide. We're only going to draw near to You. And Father, we know as Your Holy Spirit directs us and speaks to us, we're going to know where we shouldn't be. We're going to know when we should run. And I pray, Father, that Your Holy Spirit will always be there to guide us to those paths that lead to righteousness, to those paths that lead to Your greater and greater blessings. And now as we come to the Holy Spirit, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize I've been getting a little bit too close to that slippery slide. And I know I'm looking at things I'm not supposed to be looking at, and I know the devil, he's just whispering lies to me. But if you're making a decision today and saying, Lord, I choose You, Lord. I'm not going to let the devil have his way in my life anymore. I'm going to choose the ways of God, and I will see the victory that is ahead of me. I will know that God is for me, that God will never let me go. And if this is the cry of your heart, you're saying, Lord, help me. Because the Lord loves to help His children that cry out to Him. And if you're saying, Lord, help me to stay on track. Help me to stay focused on Jesus. If that's the cry of your heart, can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, Lord, I want to stay on track with You. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. But most importantly than anything, it's the hearts, Lord, saying, Lord, help me. Help me not to get even close, Lord, to that slippery slide. Lord, help me to stay focused on Jesus. Help me to draw near to you only. If I draw near to you, then I know those slippery slides will be far away from me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let your holy presence just fill this room right now, Father. Let your holy presence come fill this entire room, Father. We want to be overwhelmed by your glorious presence, Father. Fill this room. Fill our souls, Lord, with more of you. If there's any void in our heart right now, Father, fill it. Oh, Father, fill it. Father, fill it. Knowing in your presence, we have all we need to live a life that is victorious. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for what you started in our lives and what you will continue to do. We praise your most holy name. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Now for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with his son Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you simply can pray a prayer that comes straight from your heart. You're crying out to God. Know that this is a holy moment right now. If you've never given your life to Jesus, and you're saying, this is the day of salvation, for my salvation, and you're crying out to God from deep within your heart, saying, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I receive you as my Master. I receive you as my Lord, God, and King. If this is truly your heart, you're saying, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and change me from the inside out. This is the cry of your heart. Can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else say, I want to give my whole life to Jesus? Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? All right. You can put your hands down. I want you to say this prayer. Repeat it after me. And just remember, it's not about the words. Because if it is just about the words, just mere words, it doesn't really mean anything. It's something you're expressing from your heart as you repeat it after me. That God will take notice of. That God will allow himself to just let his presence just fall upon your heart and your soul. Just repeat after me and mean it from deep within your soul. Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
I believe in your son, Jesus Christ.
Who died for me on the cross.
But on the third day, he rose again,
and he lives in my heart.
I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just. You forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everybody can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone says, Amen. Let's all stand. Let's give glory unto God.
Thank you.